All righty, if you will, in your Bibles, if you'll turn to 1 John, the 5th chapter, verse 1. We want to look at some scripture there. We've been talking about and asking the question, are you born again? Just get right plain. We don't want to fancy it up. We want to get right down to the nitty-gritty. And what we're trying to do in this message is come up with several characteristics. I believe that's five. Certainly, probably more, but I think these five encompass the general characteristics of a person who says they're a Christian. If we say we're a Christian, certainly we are born again. No such thing as a Christian that's not born again. You know, it used to be a terminology there for a while, what was it, the 70s, 80s, born again Christians. You know, it's just what you call repetitious. you're either Christian or you're not. You're either saint or ain't. And that's the way it is. But we're talking about, are you born again? And Jesus himself made it clear in the Gospel of John when he made the one statement, that's the only statement that needed to be made. He said, you must be born again. You must be born from above. In our natural state, we're sinners. He said, if you're going to be saved all eternity, you must be born again. You must come to me, the Lord Jesus Christ, the giver of life, and be born again. We talked about last week, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Talked about what that meant. That meant that we don't habitually practice sin. We do stumble occasionally, but we don't do as we did what we once did when we were old creatures. We talked about how the new birth makes us new creatures, and how we act like new creatures, if indeed we are true believers. And that's what we want to talk about today, is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, or believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, the Apostle John gives us these words to think about. In 1 John, the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 1, he says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. And so, he's simply saying that believers are born again. If we're born again, we're believers. And so, he wants to make that emphatically made, and we want to understand then what a believer is. Sometimes, some would say, it's just a one-time thing. All you got to do is say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's it. But that's not really what the term means. If you read about it and study about it in its context, you'll see that believing is a continual process. We are not only do we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's part of the perseverance that God is working through us. He's preserved His people to persevere. And we persevere, and how is that seen? By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, on one occasion, there were some disciples came to him and said, what must we do to work the works of Christ? He said, believe on my name. And so he was saying, by believing we'll do the works of God. That's what believers do. They do the work of God. Now, the works don't save them, but it's evidence that they're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's evidence that grace has arrested their hearts. And as we do in the kingdom, as we do, as actually God does through us, we're working out that salvation. And that salvation will ultimately be worked out in every true believer because God said, what I started, I'll finish. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And if that's so, then He's everything in between. Thankfully, we're in between that, if we're born again. But one of the characteristics is that we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said on another occasion, you don't have to turn there, but in John 3:18, He said this about believers. He who believes in Him is not condemned. We'll talk about that word condemned in just a little bit in great depth. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned what? Already. He's already believed. He's an unbeliever. He's condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There's a song that we sing, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Brethren, there's power in the name of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just the name of Jesus Christ. Name above all names. He is the one and only Savior. And so he says, believe on him. If you believe not, you're condemned already. And so he makes an emphatic point about that. I'm going to go back to Colossians. I was going to read that last week, but it kind of ties into this a little bit. And really, I've shared with many of you and in up here in the pulpit, I know from time to time, about this particular scripture and what it meant to me. It's actually the scripture that God used me to open the doors of what the gospel, where it plays, what part it is, and how that man's sovereignty and God's sovereignty and man's responsibility run side by side. Really opened my eyes. God used it one day. We read that scripture no telling how many times, and it just that day God said, all right, enough's enough, you know, thump. There it is. And it opened up so many things, but we're talking about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And although the word is not used in here, I want you to get what it's saying. Very important. Colossians, in the first chapter, beginning in verse 21, kind of going to jump in the middle of it here for time's sake. And he begins talking to you, all of us, every one of us. He's talking to the church at Colossae, but also because the Bible is such a versatile book, it covers all people. And so it speaks and says, you who were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. That was our state before grace arrests us. You, it says, who were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. That's pretty bad. You're alienated, you're enemies, and you're wicked. You know, some say, well, I'm just a good person. You read that verse of Scripture, and that says, you, talking about all men and all women, doesn't sound like to me you're a very good person. As a matter of fact, if you're deceived to thinking that you're a good person, you don't understand the definition of goodness according to God. And that's what makes the difference. We can come up with our own terms of goodness. We can think about moral goodness. And we know that helps other people. If I'm morally good and I'm helping other people, that's all great and good, but it doesn't count for anything in God's economy. The only thing that counts in God's economy is the blood of Jesus Christ. Have I been good to that person because Christ is in me and that's Christ working through me? God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But if it's just something that I want to run up the score and say I've done this and I've done that, and somehow in my little warped mind I'm going to stand before God and, God, I did this and I did that and that. Jesus foretold a scene that's going to come to pass. When some said, Lord, didn't I do these many miracles in your name, these mighty works? Didn't I do all these things? And what did Jesus reply? Depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. They were not believers. They thought they were believers, but they were not believers. So what I want us to see is what the Bible defines as a true believer. You see, it's not just something that comes out of our mouth and saying, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's something with more substance than that. And this is what Paul is addressing, actually, at the church at Colossae. And he says, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. Who did the reconciling? God has reconciled us. In the body of his flesh through death, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Now, if there's a period there, everything would be hunky-dory. We thought, man, grace is something else. This is who I am. I have no responsibility. God has reconciled me to Himself. He said that I'm holy, I'm blameless, and I'm above reproach. God said that. I didn't say that. And so we can believe that. As a matter of fact, you can believe that if you're a true believer, because that is true. But he doesn't put a period there. He goes on to explain something else. And remember, John was saying, those who believe, he said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God. I want you to understand what the definition of believing is now when he begins talking right here. Because then he puts an if in here, and it would almost sound like works if you didn't know salvation was by grace. So you have to rightly divide the word of truth. That's what we preachers are always harping on. Rightly divide the word of truth. You know, I expect to get tired of hearing it. I hope you don't get tired of hearing it. I hope you do it. And I hope you rejoice when you hear that and say, my preacher's admonishing me to do the right thing, because the right thing is to rightly divide the word of truth. So easy to get off on a tangent. So easy to get caught up in false doctrines. And in this culture in which we live, there's going to be more avenues for you to get caught up in that very thing. So you need to listen. You need to study. You don't need to believe what Brother Joey says because Brother Joey's standing up here saying it. You need to believe it because the Bible says it's so. Not just Brother Joey, but any other person that would declare the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Study the book to see whether it's so or not. So he says that we were enemies, but God has reconciled us. He's presenting us holy, blameless, and above reproach in His sight, if indeed you continue in the faith. There's another word for belief, isn't it? In the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, for which I, Paul, became a minister. What is he saying? Continuing on. If I'm a believer, what am I going to do? I'm going to continue on. The word if there means since. And listen to what it says. Since indeed you continue in His faith or in the faith. You will, as a true believer, continue in the faith. You will grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Maybe by small increments, maybe by large increments. Hopefully it's by large increments. I would encourage you to grow by large increments. We ought to. If we're daily studying the Word of God, we ought to be growing by leaps and bounds. We ought to have more questions than I could ever answer. Preacher, what does this mean? What I read this the other day. What does this mean? What is this? What is this talking about? What is this? Ought to be growing that way. The preacher ought to be running all the time, trying to study and answer questions. And so he's saying, if indeed, or since indeed, you continue in the faith, if you continue believing, see that true faith, the faith that was once delivered unto the who? The saints. That's a true saving faith. That faith has never been delivered to the ain'ts or the unbelievers, because they would not have it. They were, and still are, just like we were, just like Galatians started in the 21st, they were alienated, they are alienated, they are enemies, and they are wicked. And they seek not after the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't want to have nothing to do with Him. I think that's foolishness, the Bible says. So it says the natural man thinks it's foolishness. Not going to seek after God, can't seek after God. Romans says that you can't do it. Can't understand, can't seek, can't understand the things of God. Their enmity against God, and left in that condition, what's going to happen? We'll bust hell wide open. We'll bust hell wide open. We'll go straight to where we deserve to go. All of us deserve that, but by God's mercy and grace, He has chosen some to be saved. That's what's a great mystery. Amen. Why He even bothered to save any? Some stumble at that doctrine. But the great mystery is not that God is unfair. That's what man, a sinner, would say. Well, God, that's just not fair. I got news for you. I don't want fairness. I don't want justice because justice is exactly what I deserve because I'm wicked. I'm enmity against God. And that's exactly what I deserve. That's what the law demands. And I have no benefactor when I'm standing there representing myself. And hell is exactly what I deserve and worse than that. But grace and mercy says, I've saved you. I've chosen you. Why, God? According to the good pleasure of my own will. It pleased me to do so. It pleased Almighty God to choose a people. Now, that people is a great multitude that cannot be numbered, like the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. A great multitude. But there's a greater multitude that's headed on the way to hell. It says, many there be that go in thereat. So we see the grace of God. And here again, reemphasizing believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. What does then, when we say that they believe in the Word of God, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born again, what does that statement mean? Well, we begin to see it means more than just saying the words, doesn't it? It's not just some magical thing like stardust, like we see on some movie or something. Sprinkle it like Tinkerbell did, you know, and sprinkle it and magically we're born again and that's all there is to it. It's not a fantasy. It's something substantial, something that God has given us. As a matter of fact, we can't believe unless we have faith. And God says, I give you the faith. It's a gift that I give you. But what is that faith? What is the characteristic of that faith? The characteristic of that faith is that we continue and that we are grounded and that we are settled in the things of God. Now I ask you that question. Are you grounded? Are you continuing in the things of God? Are you settled that Jesus Christ is the one and only Savior? Are you settled on many issues of the Bible? I'm not saying that you have complete knowledge of that. No, I don't know anybody that has that. I read after some great men and they make some great statements that I agree wholeheartedly with. And on the next page they say something absolutely wonderful. Where in the world did that come from? Because if they were talking to me, they'd want to say, where are you coming from? What I'm saying, man's fallible, but this is infallible. This tells us what believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is, what believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is a continual process which will have its end as God has said it would be. But in that, there is a groundedness, there's a steadfastness, and there's a settledness that will not remove us away from the true gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. How easy it is for us to be deceived by things. Look at the multitudes in today's society. How many churches, quote, churches, spring up. And the different doctrines that are being espoused out there and different tangents that they go down to make themselves a name, or they're either deceived and don't know any better and think they're preaching the truth. But look how many there is out there. Turn your radio on and you'll hear all sorts of stuff that is just not so on Christian radio. Just because it says Christian radio, not everything that comes out there is sound stuff. Just like me preaching, you need to read behind them. They sound good. I've heard some stuff. Man, that sounds great. I'd never heard that before. Found out why I had never heard it before, because it's false. Garbage. It wasn't true. Didn't hold up under the examination in the Word of God. The Word of God caused it to fall apart. And that's what needs to happen in our lives. That stuff that's floating around that's not so needs to fall apart. Our constant prayer ought to be, God, whatever's true, seal it in my heart. Whatever's false, whatever it takes, put me through the fire to purge it out. Because I want to serve you in spirit and in truth. I say it a bunch of times, don't I? What am I going to say next? God can't be worshipped no other way. He can't be worshipped in spirit and not in truth. He can't be worshipped in truth and not in spirit. God said that Himself. I am a spirit, and those that worship me must worship me in spirit and truth. And here's the kicker. He said, I seek such to worship me that will worship me in spirit and in truth. Who is that that's going to do that? Is he not going to find any? Is there any out there? Every true believer, everyone that's truly been born of the Spirit of God, worships God in spirit and in truth. Amen. That's what God said. That's what believing on the Lord Jesus Christ means. That's what it embraces. That's what it embraces. Here we go. A man who is born again or regenerated believes that Jesus Christ is the only Savior who can pardon his soul, that he is the divine person appointed by God the Father for this very purpose, and beside him there is no Savior at all. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Didn't say that Jesus had a co-worker. Didn't say Jesus said, I got some more saviors over here. Matter of fact, when he was talking about him being a doorway, he said something very significant, didn't he? Come through me, I'm the door. If you climb up any other way, what are those? Those are thieves. Liars. What's going to happen to those who believe thieves and liars? They're going straight to hell. They're going to hell. They're deceived. Unless God intervenes, unless their hearts change and they begin to see the error of their way and they turn to Jesus who says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. What do you take for rest? What would you have? What price would you put on rest? What about that peace that passes all understanding? A lot of you are going through. There's not any of you in here that's not going through something. There's a lot of you got been through a lot of something and still going through a lot of something. What price would you put on the peace that God gives you in the midst of those circumstances? There ain't nothing you take for it. And I'll tell you another thing that's happened to you. Because I've experienced it, and every other child of God has. You know more about Jesus during the rough times than you ever have in your life. You found out that He is faithful. You read the words one time and said He's faithful and true, but you wondered about it sometimes. Lord, I mean, but when you went through it, when you got down to the nitty-gritty, you found out He is faithful and true. You found out who He was. He said, I'm your all-sufficient Savior. When I cry out to you, come unto me, I mean for you to come unto me and bring it all and lay it on the altar. God's not interested in you helping Him out. You can't do it, no how. You're on the wrong street. I tell you, I just put a stop sign right there. You can't do one thing for God. Nothing. God's a sovereign God, self-sufficient. Doesn't need us. Just pleased Him to create a world of people. Didn't need it for His honor and glory. Didn't add one thing to Him. But it pleased Him to do so. And so when we look at it that way, we understand the love of God. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. We can't do one thing for Him. But Paul says we can do all things through Him as Christ works through us. And I want you to know there's worlds apart in those statements right there. Worlds apart in that statement. It's recognizing Christ is all sufficient in one and recognizing somebody just can't hardly do nothing unless you help him along in another. And that's false doctrine there. He said, a man who is born again or regenerated believes that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. In himself, he sees nothing but unworthiness. But he has full confidence in Christ, and trusting in Him, he believes that his sins are all forgiven. Wonderful news. No wonder they call it good news. That's good news. That's hard to believe news sometimes. I'm going to tell you, it's hard to believe sometimes, but read the book. The book says over and over and over again that Christ Jesus, if you're a true believer, died for every one of your sins. Past, present, we can deal with some of that. Future, we have the hardest time with. But He did it. And God was satisfied with that. God said, I see my Son. I sent Him into the world. He came to do my will, volunteered to do that. And I see that as that sacrificial lamb, that sin bearer that bore the sins of the world upon Him. And I declare to you, and as you read the Word of God, throughout all the heavens a voice rang, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. He didn't say, hear the rest of the prophets and they're going to help save your soul. No, hear you this one. He's Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is the Lamb that was slain even before the foundation of the world. He is the one who says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. This is the one that God said, when you look into the skies one day, He's coming back. He's gathering His church up. Our bodies are going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll be forever with the Lord. That's the one. Don't you miss Him. Don't you miss Him, because none of those things will mean anything to you but heartbreak. Don't you miss Him. That's what a believer is. He continues steadfastly in his hope, in his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He continues to do the things that God has commanded him to do because that's part of the process. He's conforming us to the image of Christ daily. We're dying more and more to our old ways that we've already been delivered from, but in our minds we have the hardest time shaking it off. But God is still working on us with that. And when He sees something that doesn't look like Jesus, what does He do but send that special trial to chisel away at it? You've heard me use the example before, the older man, the young boy that is watching an Indian one day, an old Indian chief, and he was carving away at a piece of wood. And he kept carving away and he's making a totem pole, an Indian chief out of there at the top of it. And he kept cutting away with a hatchet. And the man, because of his age, he marveled at the workmanship and the craftsmanship at that. And the young boy, of course, he's raised up in the computer age and he's not much impressed by that. And he looks at it and he says, son, isn't that the most marvelous thing that you've ever seen? He said, well, not really, Dad. I don't see that really nothing much special in that. Doesn't that amaze you that that man can take that hatchet and start hacking at that piece of wood and that Indian starts appearing? He said, what? So that's all he's doing, Dad. He said, he's just hacking away everything that don't look like that Indian. And let me tell you something. That's what God is doing to you and me as true believers. Everything that doesn't look like Jesus, He's hacking away at it. And when He hacks away at it, understand this, that the axe or whatever it is that He uses, the knife, the rod, whatever it is, He's dipped it in love because He loves us so much. He desires us to act like the children that He's called us to be and walk in holiness to His praise, honor, and glory. That's what a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is. It's one who pursues holiness. The Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see God. God said, I've got that covered. You're going to have holiness in you. I'm working that out of you. You're being conformed to the image of Christ. The more of Jesus I see, the more holiness is coming forth. Because Christ was the holy of holiest. He's our great high priest. And He is without sin. And so God begins chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. The believer has full confidence in Christ and trusting in Him. He believes that his sins are all forgiven. He believes that because he has received by faith Christ's finished work and death on the cross. He is considered righteous in God's sight, and he may look forward to death and judgment without alarm. The fear is gone. For Christ has said, I am that sacrifice. I took your place. Fear not. He's speaking to us to walk in that place of peace where we fear not the final judgment of God. We were actually judged on the cross of Calvary because we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Great mystery to us all. But in time we're born again, we become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, which proves we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Somebody said one time, wouldn't it have been grand to have been there? I said, I hope I was there. I may not have physically been there, but I hope that I was there, embodied in the Lord Jesus Christ. For believers are His body, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we talked about that condemnation. I want to talk to you just a little bit about that quickly. Romans 8, 1. Listen to these wonderful words from the Apostle Paul. Here's what happens to believers when we've been born again. No matter how we feel, our feelings are fickle. We have to learn that. We have to learn that we cannot depend on our feelings. Feelings will trick us up every time. Sometimes our feelings will follow faith, and that's well and good. I get up here, almost started bawling a while ago. But my feelings were following faith because I was thinking about what Christ had done for me. And it's enough to make your feelings well up within you. But apart from that, God would have us to live by faith. That is what a true believer does. They live by faith in spite of our feelings, in spite of our circumstances, in spite of what we are facing. We believe God. And the object of our faith is not our faith, but the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Lord of glory, of whom God spoke, I am well satisfied. He is the victor. And He's coming back victorious on that white horse. I don't know how all that's going to play out, but He's coming back victorious. He came as a low man, a sorrowful man, bearing our sins, mistreated, a servant. He's not coming back that way. He said He appeared once to be the sin bearer, but the second time He'll appear without sin. We will see Him as a glorious King of kings and the Lord of lords. That's the hope of believers. That's what our hope is built upon, is that very thing that Christ did rise from the dead, that He said and promised in His Word time and time again from the Old Testament to the New, I'm coming back for my own. And we look with fond anticipation, with a great hope that's built in Him. Not a wishful hope, not wishing, oh, I wish like man wishes fruitlessly. But our hope is solid and steadfast, anchored within the veil. None other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Romans 8, 1. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation. Oh, let me tell you what's something about believers, man. There's no condemnation. We might feel condemned sometimes. Got news for you. The Bible says no condemnation.
Praise God.
No condemnation. We're using the wrong word when we say we feel condemned. Might feel convicted. Praise God, we do. Thank God that we feel convicted. But I don't tell you what, we're not condemned.
Amen.
We're not condemned. What if the old hymn said, I stood condemned to die, He freely took my place. One time I was condemned without Christ, but now in Christ there is no condemnation. to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What is that saying? To true believers. What do true believers do? They walk in the Spirit, don't they? They don't walk in the flesh. They may stumble a little bit. They don't walk in the flesh. They don't practice what they used to practice when they were without Christ. They cannot go back like the pig and wallow in the mud anymore. God won't have it. God don't have any pigs among sheep. Might have some dirty sheep from time to time, but you know what? He said, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He's talking about restoring us back to that fellowship as David lost the joy of his salvation. Not salvation, but the joy of his salvation, and was restored back to loving fellowship with Almighty God. That's what he's talking about. So there is no condemnation. What is that condemnation? I can just say a few things about that. Here's what condemnation. Those that believe not are condemned already. Listen to what happened. Listen to what they are. Behold, David said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I want to tell you something. David had a mom and daddy. So we're not talking about somebody that's conceived out of wedlock here. We're not talking about an adulterous affair that his mother had. No, that's not what he's saying at all. You know what he's referring to? He's referring to Adamic sin. He said, I'm a sinner by birth. I'm a sinner by nature. I have inherited my father Adam's sin. And the reason I know that is because I'm a practitioner of it. The Bible says babies come crying forth from the womb. They deceive you and screaming and kicking. Where do you think that comes from? Because they're meek and lowly, mild and mannered. That's that nature working in them. Listen to Romans 5:12, in case somebody doesn't believe that. You always got a scripture. Preachers always got a scripture. You know, somebody said one time, Brother Burley was talking to him, and they was trying to trick him up, and he come up with some scripture and gave him a scripture and said, you preachers always got a text. So we better always have a text. Here it is in Romans 5:12, so that we might clarify even what David was saying. Because some don't believe Adamic sin. They don't believe that man is totally dead in sin. But the Bible clearly and emphatically teaches that he has an inability to come to God on his own. It's not there. He has a free will, but it's bound by his nature. And his nature is enmity against God. So the only choices man can make apart from Christ is a sinful choice. You'll never choose to do good. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to how many men? All men, because all sinned. That's every man, woman, and child. That's the pronouncement of judgment. That's condemnation. When Jesus was talking earlier, when John was talking earlier, the words of Jesus, he said, he that believeth not is condemned already. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about that sin burden, that sin that condemns man. Ephesians 2:1-3. And you hath he quickened. Quickened means made alive. You who is born again. You who he has made true believers. That's what he's saying. Listen to what their problem was to begin with. Why they had to be quickened. Why does someone have to be quickened or made alive? That's because they're dead. Now they're walking around dead. So it's not dead, like in a natural death. It's got to be another death, hasn't it? It's got to be a spiritual death. It's the only other thing we got. We've got spiritual and natural. That's it. You can't go nowhere else. Make something else up. Make another doctrine, I guess. Throw it out there with the rest of them. But you can't make nothing else, so they're spiritually dead. What does a spiritual man, dead man, look like? Who were dead in trespasses and sins. What does that mean? What does that mean? Joe, that's a big word, trespasses. I might understand a little bit about sin, but trespasses, I don't understand that. Let's describe that man. Wherein, this is what you do when you're dead in trespasses and sin. Wherein, times past, you walked according to the course of this world. In other words, this world dictated to you how you would walk. And you loved it because you had a receptor that took all that in. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all, not some, we all had our conversation or our lifestyles in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, or even as everybody else that came from Adam. Now, if you know somebody that came some way other way, didn't come from Adam, then maybe they don't have a sin nature. But there ain't nobody else come from Adam, because Adam and Eve were the first two on planet Earth, and they began to have children. Their children had children. We all came from them. So it really is true that we're all cousins. You know, we all come from Adam and Eve. Maybe far removed cousins, but we're all cousins. Adam and Eve. So he's saying, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. That is, filling full the desires of the flesh. There's not even in a natural man in that state, there's not room for God. That's what fulfilling means. It's filling full my own desires. This is the whole problem. I want to be God. I am the God of my domain while I'm dead in sins. I'm influenced by Satan. I'm influenced by the world. But that, I really like that. I like that because I'm a sinner. Sinners like that. You know, birds of a feather flock together. You can say all you want to about that thing. But I had no room for God because I was being filled full of my desire. God arrested me one day and took away that desire. And my desire is to serve Him in spirit and in truth. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. And it still amazes us because we still can't get all the way around that grace. We still don't understand what being a true believer is all about and what that grace has delivered us from. We shy back when God would call us holy and saints and separated and clean. We shy back from that because we know that we wrestle with things, don't we? But got news for you. If God calls you that, who are you? Amen. You're what God calls you. No matter what others may call you, that's what you are if you're a true believer in God. A true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You do the deeds of your father in John 8:41-44. They said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. Simple, isn't it? Who loves Him? We love Him. Why, John said? Because He first loved us. We'll never love God until God sets His affection upon our hearts. Got to open that deadness up, take it away. As the Old Testament writer said, remove that old stony heart, give us a heart of flesh. Something alive and beating. Something yearning after something that we lacked, that we were supposed to have, but we lost in sin. God restores it way yonder better than what we might have imagined in the beginning. In fact, He says it's a new creature and old things are passed away. Don't even compare it with that life, He said. I've made you something that's going to take you the rest of your life to figure out what it is, and you're still not going to figure it out completely. One day you know, because I'm taking you to heaven, and said we're going to give you a mind that comprehend all that, because you can't comprehend it all right now. It'll probably blow you apart. But a greater day's coming. A greater day's coming. True believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that are removed from condemnation. Those that have no condemnation. We'll close with this. When Paul says, therefore, there is now no condemnation. This is what he was saying. Here it introduces the staggering results of Paul's teaching in the first seven chapters that justification is by faith alone on the basis of God's overwhelming grace When he talks about no condemnation, he said occurring only three times in the New Testament, all in Romans, the other two part times were Romans 5, 16 and 18. Condemnation is used exclusively, listen, in judicial settings as the opposite of justification. Let me tell you, this is your place. You are either condemned or you are either justified. You're not in the process of either. You're one or the other. If one is condemned, he's going to hell. If one is justified, he's going to heaven. And who is he that justified? Romans answers that. It is God that justified. He needs no help from us. We just mess it up. We think we're helping him out. That's the worst thing. That's the worst thing in the world. No condemnation. Judicial settings is possible as opposite of justification. It refers to a verdict of guilty and the penalty that verdict demands. No sin a believer can commit, past, present, or future, can be held against him since the penalty was paid by Christ and righteousness was imputed to the believer, and no sin will ever reverse this divine legal decision. Amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. Jesus then is a complete Savior. He completely justifies us. There's nothing lacking. There's nothing that we add to that's going to gain favor with God. Jesus didn't make a down payment and we're taking making installments hoping that we're going to get to heaven. No, He did it all. Amen. That we might live. We have to Him there. Part of the rest of that other one. That's what believing in the Lord Jesus Christ encompasses. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ would have us to press on. Press on. Listen to what he says. A believer may have fears and doubts. Woo! Am I talking to you? A believer may have fears and doubts. He may sometimes tell you that he feels as if he has no faith at all. Y'all never done that. I've been there. I wondered, is this though? Just a figment of my imagination? Am I on some trip or something? I just feel so far away from God. But is God gone far away from me? He never has taken a step away. He indwelt me. You know what indwell means? He took up His living in my body, in my soul. So how is it that God can leave me? Can't do it. So if there's any leaving, who did it? Only leaves one person. Joey, guilty. Guilty. If I come into that emotional realm of feeling awful bad about my sin, let me tell you about your sins. Now, we don't encourage you to sin. Grace ought to do everything but encourage you to sin. It ought to encourage you to serve. But when you sin, because you will do it, confess it. When you confess your sin, as I said before, Jesus said He's faithful and just to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What happens when you're cleansed? What happens when you wash your clothes? Old filthy clothes, I'll bring them from Rexnord. They stink like old oily mess over there. Put it in there, wash them out, and they come out just as clean. Smell them, they smell so good. Because there's no more of that residue on there. There's no more of what was at Rexnord on those clothes. It's washed away. And when God does that in a far greater sense, when He forgives our sins. I've sinned, God. It breaks my heart. I've sinned. I'm confessing it. God says, okay. The blood of Christ is taking care of that. Do you know what we do? We continue, oh Lord, I feel it's going. It'll be days before I can get back in your good graces. That's not what grace is all about, you see. That's works. That's works. We got it messed up. We don't understand that when God says, I forgive you, takes that sin, and what does he do? But throw it into that sea of forgetfulness. We're the one dredging it up. I heard somebody say, I believe David Jeremiah said, God throws your sins in the sea of forgetfulness, and he puts up a sign there, no fishing. We fish, see? We fish it. We try to get it back. God says, when I say I forgive you, you could ask me in the next moment about that particular sin, and I would say, what sin? Now you think on that. That's the way it is. That's truth. That's truth. That's empowering, enabling truth for us to be able to live a victorious Christian life that God has called not just some believers to live. Oh, there's a doctrine going around there too. Oh, you get higher degrees. No, you got all you got. You're everything that God has made you. You're victorious. You're an overcomer. If you're not doing it, it's because you're not looking at the Word of God, not living by the Word of God. God has made you to be what He says you are. We simply need to read the Word of God, believe the Word of God, and line up to what it says and go about as Jesus was said of Jesus, doing good. Doing good. Praise God. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what the apostle would ask you? Are you born again? Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? God bless you to think on these things is my prayer for Christ's sake.